Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, yes, yes. The villain is in the building. Wears a mask to cover the raw flesh. I'm here. I'm solo, but I got the team coming in soon. It's the Sports City Chefs, the Carlos Cookout, the villain versus Timeless, where good always wins. But, you know, listen, every good hero needs a villain, and that's what I am. So call in number 929-477-2759 with you for the next, we'll say an hour, maybe a little longer, depending on how many chefs go on. Come on in. If the villain's by himself, I can tell you this is going to be a quick call. But, yeah, listen, you know, took a little break last week. We're back at it. Wrapping up summer vacations. Had a little hurricane blow through, not the ones from Miami because those don't make much of an impact. Shout out to TP Timeless, the hero himself. listen, we're here. We're surviving. A lot to talk about. MLB is about to take center stage, coming down the stretch run in September, and then heading into the World Series playoffs scenario there. NFL getting into the preseason and about to get their season underway. NBA is probably taking a little bit of a back burner, still some news, but hey, they have all signed into that kind of year-round philosophy of we're – lights always on. There's always news. So a lot to talk about in the world of sports right now. Listen, I'll start with a little MLB because, listen, about a couple weeks ago, maybe like a couple months ago, like a month ago, the villain was depressed. The villain wasn't feeling too good about his baseball team heading into a series, Subway Series with the New York Mets. And I'm, of course, talking about the New York Yankees. The Yankees were flying low and the Mets were flying high. And then lo and behold, now it is almost September. The Yankees are the hottest team in baseball right behind the LA Dodgers. You could probably flip a coin for who you want. I would probably take the Yankees right now. Dodgers are pretty hot themselves. But you know, the Yankees are hot, four games out of the Eastern, the division lead, winners of their last 11 straight, longest win streak they've had, I think, since 19, I think they said 85, maybe, possibly. Kind of hard to believe. Their first, I think, 10 or 11 game series wins since the 98 season when they had the best record all time until Seattle Mariners overtook them. Listen, they're the hottest team in baseball right now, and the Mets are flying low. They're horrendous in a horrendous streak right now, three games under 500, losers of eight of their last 10. You know, they've run up against some stiff competition with the Giants and the Dodgers, sprinkled in with some of their Eastern division foes. Save for a series win against the Nationals, the Mets have not been looking good. But, you know, listen, ever since, I would say, the trade deadline, maybe the All-Star break, there's no denying that Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo have lit a spark in the New York Yankees. Some of their young guys that they have, you know, the Bronx native, who's I think probably one of the best stories that that the Yankees could possibly have right now, with their star running their star shortstop being hurt right now, and Gleyber Torres, you know, yeah, Vasquez coming in and really doing the job at shortstop and holding things down. The starting rotation's kind of been solidified. A couple guys went down with COVID, but now Cole and Montgomery are back and pitching well. You got guys coming in. Talon is looking like a steal in the off season, and the guys are hitting. Aaron Judge is having a great year. Giancarlo Stanton, since he's been in the field, has been mashing it. So I think they figured it out. I mean, now you can just start interchanging and playing with different combinations in the lineup. So Yankees are looking good. Mets just can't hit. I mean, the pitching is kind of failing a little bit, the starting pitching in particular. You're looking at DeGrom, who might not come back. They're saying the MRI was hopeful today, but, you know, I can't bank on him coming back, and it doesn't look good. But, I mean, in general, I'm liking what I'm seeing with the Dodgers. They're playing a lot better baseball, and they've been playing probably the second best baseball in the last month. They're winning some 9 of their last 10, but they can't even make up a lot of ground because the Giants just keep winning and they keep playing some really good baseball. Probably arguably the best team in baseball right now at an 81-41 record. So they're playing well. The Brewers are running away with the Central Division in the NL. They're looking really good. I think the division was a little down. I think the Reds, surprisingly, shout out to Big E, Eric, he kind of called it early when we had the preview show that the Reds were going to have a good season. I didn't think they were going to be that good. They're hanging around, but even as good as they're playing, they're 8.5 games back of the Brewers, who just kind of turned it on and really run away with everything. So, you know, shout out to them. The Braves kind of getting it together. You know, they got swept by the Yankees, but, you know, they're playing some good baseball and kind of solidifying themselves in the NL East. And then you go out in the AL, you know, the White Sox, they're a good team, but I don't believe you. You need more people. I just don't feel like the White Sox, I don't know. I feel like they're a good team against bad teams. And when they have to play some good teams, I feel like they kind of falter. They kind of got owned by the Yankees outside of that great classic game in Iowa, which was a really great sight to behold and really good job by the MLB to put that presentation on. But after that, they lost two at home to the Yankees. They got beat up by the Rays a little bit. You know, they're just, you know, they're fake good. And I hope, you know, that's not the case, because they do have some talent. They have some hard throwers in the bullpen, but I just don't see it. You know, I don't see it with them. Houston Astros keep winning. Oakland Athletics and the Boston Red Sox are two teams that are just falling flat on their face right now. The A's now host the red hot Yankees, but they've lost four straight, 8 of their last 10. They're really falling apart. The Red Sox, again, they are starting to kind of turn it around a little bit, but they were up, I think, almost 8 games on the Yankees, and now they're two and a half games behind them right now. They've lost a lot of ground, and they have a lot of problems. They're not hitting the ball particularly well right now, and now the pitching is starting to kind of fall apart on them. I thought they were a good team. They're still a good team. I thought they'd come back down to earth, but not this hard. So, you know, but, you know, the Yankee fan in me really doesn't care. They keep winning or losing, so, as a villain would say. But I don't know about the Red Sox. I feel like they can get into the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to make a lot of noise. I think in a one-game playoff, it's a coin flip to get into that wild card. But they're struggling right now. They're scuffling at the plate. They're not particularly hitting well. And they're not pitching very well, as opposed to the Yankees that are starting to turn it all on. I mean, the Yankees still have question marks with the Britton injury. Chapman's still not not all the way there. I think his confidence is lacking a little bit. But for the most part, honestly, you know, they're getting it together at the right time. And the Rays, you know, can't say enough about the Tampa Bay Rays. They just keep chugging away, man. They keep winning games. They're a really good baseball team. They're well constructed. It's just a shame that nobody sees them in Tampa Bay. Because they're a really good baseball team, and they have a lot of talent, some young talent that's really coming on down there. I mean, you got Rezarenta, who's a really good baseball player, and now you got, you know, the trade for Cruz was a big – I think it was a big turning point. I mean, getting him and getting that bat in the lineup really kind of – I don't know. It gives that veteran leadership, but it gives them a big bat. They kind, not kind of miss, but, you know, it's good to have that big home run threat. So, you know, listen, I like what I see from them. The Yankees, I don't know if they can catch them, you know, but if anybody can do it down the stretch, they can. And, you know, they're going to have some games with them down the stretch, I believe. I'm looking through the schedule right now. You know, the Yankees played them. They played very well against them last time out against them. But, you know, the Rays have some games with Boston to get fat on, and then they end their season with the Yankees. So that could be a really huge series. You know, at New York, in New York, three games to end the season. You know, they do face Baltimore a couple times, but, you know, looking at their schedule, outside of Baltimore, they got to face, you know, they got to face the Twins, who are playing a little bit better baseball, but they got the Tigers. But then you got Boston for seven games. You got Toronto for six games. And then you got the Yankees. And you sprinkle in Houston Astros in there as well. It's not going to be easy for them. Yankees might be able to make up some ground. If it's a tight race in the East coming down the stretch, look out. Like I said, call number 929-477-2759 with you for the next hour. Talking a little baseball, talking a little football. I don't think I'll get to basketball, to be honest with you. I mean, not a lot to talk about with basketball. You know, we've had basically – what we understand with the free agency. We had some issues with, you know, people, you know, saying, you know, who thinks, okay, let's get it good. LeBron coming out there having issues with who's the best, who was voted by, I think, executives, best player in the game. He got zero votes and had to tweet about it because the villain's not going to miss words. I said it on social, so I'll say it here on the show. He's a crybaby. I mean, he wants the attention. He wants, you know, listen, if he had got one vote, would he have been happy? No. You know, he would have been even more. Only one person voted for me? I mean, like, you can't win for losing. I don't think he's the best player in the game right now. I think his numbers this year were down from last year. A first exit leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. So even though he was hurt, but his numbers were down from the previous year when everybody, you know, early in the season before he got hurt, everybody was considering him an MVP candidate. Now you look at it, you know, Giannis went through the playoffs, finally got that chip. Kevin Durant had an unbelievable playoff series and almost pulled off a Herculean effort to get past the Bucks. So those are the two guys. I mean, Joker's the MVP. Everybody loves Luka. I feel like, you know, it's like everybody loves Raymond. Like, everybody loves Luka. Everybody thinks he's the next one. And I believe he is going to be one of those guys that's going to hold down the league in years' time. But I just don't see LeBron there. I mean, and there's no shame in that. You've been the best the game has to offer for years. It's other people's time to shine, but that doesn't mean he can't be effective. That can't mean that he can't lead into a championship, which a lot of people think he's going to do. So, but I have to cry about it. At this point, you're going to be 37 years old. And going into what, your 17th, 18th year? I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, seriously, like, what are we talking about? You know, everybody calls it disrespect because you remember LeBron from age. I mean, you're not paying attention. You're not looking. I mean, he's still pretty damn good. Nobody thinks. I don't think he's washed up. you know, you're not as good as you were. And there's players in the league, if I was building a team right now in the current day, that I would take over you. Not a lot of players, but, you know, quite a few. So, you know, there's no shame in that. But, you know, can't please everybody. Other NBA news, not much, but, I mean, the big issue last week, which we didn't get a chance to talk about, was the big interview, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. And I got to be honest with you, I watched the interview. It was a really good interview. It was really well done. It's a first of its kind. It's groundbreaking. I think you're going to see a lot more of that to come. But the big talk of it was the whole situation, the fallout with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and then how they blame management and Steve Kerr for breaking up the team. And I feel that's a load of crap. I mean, you know, you're going out here saying, you know, it's the only people that could fix it are me and Kevin Durant. I'm speaking as Draymond Green. So why didn't you fix it? Why didn't you apologize? You know what I mean? So, you know, that's not on Steve Kerr and Marks. I mean, they tried to fix the situation before it got out of hand, and maybe they took a side, but they weren't wrong in taking his side. Because, and here's the thing, during the interview, they talk about how everybody else had their hands in it and tried to manipulate the situation, but it's like, not once, the incident, what happened. Like, I had to go watch videos and read articles to remember what exactly happened, like Draymond calling him the B word and all that stuff. Like, they didn't even mention it. So, like, they tried to totally deflect it, which was probably planned, totally deflect it and push the blame to someone else and not have it on them. So from that standpoint, I thought it was weak. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, everybody thought Kevin was going to leave. He did leave. He came back for the three-peat. They didn't get it. He left and went to do his own thing. I don't think anybody was surprised by that, but I think Draymond was like, yo, we got a good thing here. Why would you leave? Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? He didn't have to stay. You know, maybe he made up his mind. A lot of guys made up their mind. Like LeBron and D-Wade made up their mind. They were going to play together years before it went down in Miami. Didn't deter them from their respective teams or make them, you know, uncoachable or anything like that. So it's not like it's a first, you know what I mean? Players talk behind the scenes. So, you know, I think Draymond just took it a little personally, and, you know, it is what it is, but he should have apologized. He didn't do it. You know, they tried to deflect the blame, but I put the blame squarely on Draymond bashing your team while you're still on the team. Good luck with that. That's all I can say about that. But like I said, I think in general it was a big sports moment to have that platform for yourself. You know, a lot of times we kind of take light of the fact that when we were younger in the 80s and 90s, it was a different era. You had to go through newspapers, you had to go through TV to do interviews. You couldn't really kind of project your own image or your own comments or anything like that, because of basically there was no platform to do that. Now you have social media, you have all these interview kind of platforms and everything, and it's like it's there. You can make it happen for yourself, and they did it. They went out there and made a platform for themselves that everybody's going to try to emulate. You know, everybody's going to try to come out and do an interview, especially if, you know, there's an issue, there's something that they don't like, you know what I mean? So, listen, it's great. It was a great interview. I think it was about 25-ish minutes. It was a great listen. I had problems with the blame game, but for the most part, you got a really candid look at what drives Kevin Durant. And, you know, he's kind of like Kobe Bryant of like maybe my generation, or maybe somebody that's a little older, like sandwiched between two greats. And not to say Kobe's not great. Kobe is great. Top 10 for me. But like sometimes he's always like the afterthought between LeBron and Jordan, and his greatness is kind of like not pushed to the side, but you don't talk about it in the same breath. And it takes a little bit of time and thinking to put him in the same breath as Jordan and LeBron. I feel like Durant is kind of in that bubble where you talk about the greatness of LeBron James, and then you talk about maybe other players in the league that are really good, you know, that won MVPs like James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you talk about how good Luka and all these guys are going to be, and you'd like, oh yeah, Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant's an all-time player. You know, I think, you know, the concrete isn't dry on his the handprints on the Hall of Fame, the Walk of Fame, but I think when it's all said and done, he's going to push somebody out of the top 10. If he keeps piling numbers and keeps doing his thing, I think there's a legitimate argument that he's going to push somebody out of the top 10. If you had him at small forward, I think he would easily end his career at least the third greatest small forward of all time. I have trouble putting him ahead of Bird because Bird had three straight MVPs and people just forget that. But to look at his body of work and then to see where he could possibly end up at the end of his career with the points and everything, prolific shooter, it's not hard to say that he'll be somewhere in the top 10. So, you know, I think it was a really enlightening interview. I think it was great to watch and to see his candor. I don't think anybody would be able to get him to open up like Draymond did. Draymond, I guess you can trust him because he's a peer and not like somebody like maybe like an interviewer like Stephen A. or somebody that, you know, yeah, you're cool, but, you know, they also have a job to do. Draymond is just there to kind of do his thing, so... You know, it was a great take. So, that was really good. And I definitely think, you know, Draymond has a future in that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of that. So, you know, kudos to those guys for doing that and making that whole experience an experience. But something, it was a good build up for it. And, you know, hey, you're gonna see more of it. So, calling number 929-477-2759. The Callers Cookout, the villain, without Timeless, without any of the chefs. I'm hoping they come through. But if they don't come through, the villain's just going to have to hold it down for a little bit longer. But, you know, calling number 929-477-2759. You know, I definitely wanted to talk some NFL. You know, we got the season about to start. I haven't seen my quarterback. In Danny Jones. I will not call him Danny Dimes. I don't care what anybody says. I haven't seen him in the preseason yet. I have no idea why. I don't think he's earned the right to not be able to play. I know it's a little bit of a different animal because you have a longer season. You have 17 games now. And a lot of things, and one thing that I think is really beneficial for these teams in the preseason now is to really have joint practices. I think you saw it a little bit in the past, and now you're seeing it more prevalently. Like the Jets had a joint practice with the Packers, and now they have one with the Eagles. So now you're talking about these quarterbacks getting work against another team, against another look in practice every day, as opposed to waiting for a dress rehearsal in a game where you get like a couple of possessions, maybe a possession or two. So, I think it's great. But I think there's nothing that would hurt more reps for Danny Jones. I don't think he's earned the right, like Aaron Rodgers, where he doesn't have to play. I don't think he's earned that right. So listen, he should be out there, especially with him being hurt a little bit last year. So, I think he needs to play. Saquon, I guess you can take it easy with him. And Galladay, you know, if he's not completely healthy, I think you wait to get him right. But, you know, Danny Jones needs to play. But other quarterbacks that, you know, are in the heat of a battle trying to win a job, Jameis Winston trying to win his job, you know, in New Orleans, made a great case, I would think, to solidify himself as the starter, even though we're talking about, you know, Breeze retiring and basically, you know, walking away from the game. Taysom Hill got a big contract on paper, not all of it guaranteed. So there is kind of an out, but, you know, I just look at his performance against the Jaguars, albeit against the Jaguars. He made a huge statement in that game. I mean, he missed one pass, went 9 of 10 for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns, was comfortable in the pocket, threw the ball deep, looked very good. Taysom Hill didn't play very bad, actually had a pretty good game. If you look at what he did, but I think Jameis made such a statement with his performance. I mean, Hill was, you know, 11 of 20, 130 yards, a touchdown, but, you know, Winston, you know, just looked really good and looked like that guy. That was the number one pick, right? That was a college football Heisman winner. That was a national champion in college. That, you know, led the league in passing yards and was a kind of a fantasy stat monster. You know what I'm saying? So I think the best thing that he did was humbled himself and came into New Orleans looking to learn and sat out a year, didn't rush. You know, not a lot of teams were knocking down his door, but give the Saints credit for giving him a contract and saying, okay, hey, listen, we'll let you sit here and learn, play under Breeze. He actually did get some run when Breeze got hurt, but, you know, just benefited from the kind of Sean Payton and all of that, like, that knowledge that Drew Breeze was sitting on. So, listen, I think it was great. We're talking about him stepping into a good situation and be a lot better if Michael Thomas was there. But at the end of the day, I think he's the guy that has to be your starter. I think he gives your team the best chance to win. He can get the ball downfield. I think you bring in Hill for a couple plays, but you can put the ball in Hill's hands at any point in the game, at anywhere on the field to make an impact. But I think the guy that needs to be in the center for you is Winston. So, I mean, I think he made his case, and we'll see where Sean Payton leans towards, but I think that's where the majority of people think he's going. But, I mean, the other battle going on that isn't much of a battle, and I think people are taking umbrage with that, is in Chicago, where, you know, Justin Fields drafted, the Bears traded up to draft Justin Fields, who everybody thought was the second-best quarterback coming out of college, coming out of Ohio State. You know, for some odd reason, his draft stock fell. I think Zach Wilson, to segue to that, looks pretty damn good. He makes all the throws. He's not afraid of the pressure in New York. He's going to be a damn good quarterback. I love what the Jets are doing, to be honest with you. It looks like the right fit at coach. Wilson looks like the right fit at quarterback. But he was drafted, and Justin Fields kept falling. And the Bears jumped on it, traded up, and got their guy. But, you know, Nagy kept saying, listen, Dalton's my quarterback, and he's going to be starting week one. And then he reaffirmed it yesterday and calling for Andy Dalton to be the week one starter. You know, there's a lot of kind of different thought methods and kind of like how people want to bring in a quarterback. A lot of people, like, think that they need to be the starter from week one, like the Jaguars think with Trevor Lawrence, who was named the starter for week one. The Jets obviously will have Zach Wilson as the starter. Some people kind of look at it like the Giants did, where they had Eli start, and then, you know, Daniel Jones came in eventually a couple games later and was the starter because they felt he gave them the best chance to win. You know, there's a lot of different ways to go. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes didn't start when they came in the league. Rodgers sat for a couple years. Mahomes sat the whole first year behind Alex Smith, and then the second year he was the MVP candidate, you know, and took him to the Super Bowl, you know, or took him to one game from the Super Bowl. So I don't think he's on that level, but, you know, there's a lot of different trains of thought of how you bring on a young quarterback and how you, you know, build around them. I think Dalton didn't play great last year in Dallas. I think he got better as the season progressed. They were awful to look at when Dak Prescott first got hurt. I think he got better as the season went on. They almost had a chance to sneak into the playoffs. But if you're looking at last year's numbers to say he's the start, why he should start, then that's not an argument, right? But I think you're looking at a team that needs to kind of get their offensive line together. I think they need to kind of figure out, you know, who's who and what's what before you just throw the quarterback to the wolves. I mean, everybody saw that hit he took in the last preseason game, got his bell rung a little bit. Do you want that for this kid 17 games this year, getting his head taken off, running for his life against that offensive line? Let them gel. Let them figure it out. Excuse me. And let them start to learn how to play some good football. Then you can bring him in. Then you can start building towards that future. Does Fields give them a better win chance to win than Dalton? Probably. But are you setting – in my opinion, I feel like you're setting him up to fail if you bring him in right away and name him the starter. There's no harm in letting him wait. It hasn't hurt any – a lot of quarterbacks. It didn't hurt Eli that he had to wait, I think, 10 games before he became the starter. Two Super Bowls later, possibly a Hall of Fame career later, it was just the right way to go. So I don't think there's any harm in waiting with Justin Fields. I just don't like how Nagy didn't make it a competition. It feels like he didn't give Justin Fields the chance to be the starter, to win the job. I feel like he said, all right, Dalton's my quarterback. This is the guy I want. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And there was nothing to it. That was it. And I feel like give the kid a chance. If he outshines, then, you know, if he outshines. But there was never that kind of possibility. There was never that, oh, man, dude, there's a competition here. You know, I can win this job. Like, it was just like, nope, hold the bags. Go in the back. Hold the starter's bags. So that's my only problem with it. But, you know, I feel like at the end of the day, it's going to be the right decision. And Nagy is, you know, coaching for his job, but I don't feel like he's doing it. He's rushing this kid in to keep his job. I feel like he's doing the smart thing. On the other hand, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the Jaguars naming Trevor Lawrence the starter. Do you have a better option? I mean, is there a better option out there? I don't know. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Minshew is a good quarterback. Is he the future? No. So I feel like they want to go with their future, and they want to go out there and give Trevor Lawrence the start. Now, did he look good in his last game against the Saints? I caught a little bit of it. Slide, young man. They do let you slide. Do not run headfirst into the NFL, or you will never be headfirst because your head will get taken off. But he looked pretty good. I saw some throws that he made moving in the pocket, some nice throws. He's got good arm strength. He runs. You know, he's a leader out there. I think it's going to take a while, but I think they could build a winner around him. So I think, listen, if you know that guy is your guy for the next few years, there's no harm and putting him out there and making him the starter. I don't feel like they had a – not that they didn't have a better option. I think Minshew is a good option. I think he's trade bait, honestly, for a team that might need a quarterback. But to be honest, like, if he's not your future, then, you know, the time is now. And you could say that about the Bears, but I think that's a little bit of a different scenario. So I think the Bears are a little bit more – I don't know. They're more built to win, but – I think they have to be smart and understand that maybe in their situation they've seen enough in the practices against other inter-squad practices that, you know, maybe he's not ready or maybe the team's not ready to win around him. They have to build the offensive line a little bit. So, but I think in Jacksonville, you got to get butts in the seats, and that's how you're going to get people in the seats, by having Trevor Lawrence as your starting quarterback. So we actually do have a caller in queue. I'm going to bring him in. Sirius, welcome to the program. How you feeling?
You know, fellas, it's been a day. It's been a day. Let's keep it at that, man. Such a pleasure to be here, man. Let's get to work.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've been running the gambit. I've been talking basketball. I've been talking baseball. I'm talking football. I'm talking too freaking much. So, I mean, listen, I'm talking about these starting quarterbacks, man. Listen, Justin Fields was named as the backup. Andy Dalton was named the starter. Trevor Lawrence is named the starter in Jacksonville. I was about to hit on the Patriots situation. I talked about Jameis Winston and Tyson Hill. I mean, what do you think? I mean, start where you want to start with the quarterback situation you got there. I mean, I kind of feel like Justin Fields probably should be second string and let Andy Dalton get maybe a month or two until Justin Fields gets a little bit comfortable out there, until that offensive line gets a little bit more comfortable and, hey, this is your job to block. Why don't you block? You know what I mean? They'll get my quarterback's head taken off. What do you feel like with these, some of these quarterbacks that are being named starters and some of them that possibly have staked their claim to the starting job?
You know, honestly, man, I think for me, and I'm just going to pick right up where you handed me the rock. You know, this whole situation with Andy Dalton and the Chicago Bears, you know, I understand – honestly, in my opinion, what Matt Nagy is trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you go out and you sign Andy Dalton. You make whatever promises, you know, that you need to make. You know, say whatever you need to say to sell your team. But, you know, on the flip side, you didn't expect, you know, Justin Fields to fall into your lap, you know, the way you did. And For Matt and Nagy and Denver, you know what I'm saying, the seat is super hot. So you have to win right now. You know what I'm saying? You got to win right now. So I understand it from that aspect of things, but I don't know of too many first-round quarterbacks that gets drafted, unless your name is Jordan Love, that's sick. So case can be made, honestly, since we're having this conversation about the quarterback position. Trey Lance out in San Francisco. I expect to see him early on in this season. Obviously, Justin Fields, we're talking about that currently. Trevor Lawrence was a no-brainer. Like, honestly, Urban Meyer, what the actual F are you talking about, bro? Like, there was no shot on God's green earth that you was going to draft one overall, get Trevor Lawrence, and then start Gardner Minshew. Like, I understand you want to do right and you want to come in there and kind of, you know, develop a compete culture and we're going to compete and whatever case may be, but you wasn't fooling anybody. We all knew the moment you guys got the first overall draft pick and you know, had Trevor Lawrence's name on that piece of paper that this was going to be your starter. You was going to ride and die with this guy. But and for the others, you know, the situation in Denver comes to mind too, because ultimately I think they got this situation wrong. But right, if that makes any sense. For example, I honestly would have thought that you would have went with the younger guy in Drew Luck and the guy who, you know, pushes the ball down the field. You got arguably one of the top, you know, weaponry on the outside when you start looking at a KJ Hamler, a Jerry Jeudy, a Courtland Sutton coming back off of a knee situation, a Noah Fant at tight end. You got a Melvin Gordon in your backfield. You got some weapons, you know what I'm saying? You could spread some people out, and, you know, I'm not saying you're going to beat Kansas City and the Chargers, but you could definitely put up some points with them, you know what I'm saying? If you got Drew Lock and he's clicking on all cylinders and you've got them defenses trying to figure out how you're going to guard, you know, a Jerry Jeudy who, you know, did his thing in Alabama. You got to try to figure out how you're going to play with a KJ Hamler who can literally shake raindrops and don't get wet, you know what I'm saying, because he's just that shifty. But you go with the security option and a Teddy Bridgewater who, like, if Teddy Bridgewater craps the bed, I'm not too sure that's going to be received well by Drew Lock if you go to Drew Lock. I think the other way around is go out, see if Drew Lock can secure the position, you know, get you, you know, get the ball down the field, make some things happen. And then in the event that he falls on his face, because keep in mind, he's in a contract year himself. You know what I'm saying? So if he falls in his face and shows that he can't lead the ship, then you go to Teddy Bridgewater, and you know, we'll be getting out of Teddy Bridgewater. So there's a lot of quarterbacks, you know, vying for positions. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to shut up. The New Orleans Saints was funny to me. You know what I'm saying? That whole situation, in my honest opinion, is comical because we knew what we were getting from Taysom Hill. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He played a significant amount of time when Drew Brees went down last year. The offense struggled. I understand that, you know, in my opinion, Jameis Winston was just now getting there and, you know, trying to run the offense, which is why he wasn't given a starter position when Drew Brees went down. I don't subscribe to that. I think there was something else that's going on there. You know, we can talk about it at a later date. But with all that being said, you know, the offense didn't move. So when Jameis Winston came in this offseason and, you know, put in that work and was dropping dimes, and, you know, I honestly think that this was a no-brainer for Sean Payton. I do think they're going to carve out a role for Taysom Hill. I think he's a gadget guy. I think he's going to get, you know, maybe, you know, 10 to, you know, 12 snaps, you know, on the offense to come in there, be a change of pace, run the little jet sweep, pick up the fourth and 1 yardage, go in the goal line and take, you know, touchdowns away from Alvin Kamara, which, you know, kills us in fantasy, but I digress. It's gonna be that type of show in New Orleans. So I thought that Jameis Winston was the clear cut, you know, favorite to win that position last year when Drew Brees went down. But definitely this offseason, when they definitely didn't draft anybody and they didn't go out, in my opinion, to sign anybody else, I thought that was Jameis Winston to win, and I think he did.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of puzzled like you, Sirius, that Winston didn't get the run last year when Brees went down, that they went with Hill, and the offense kind of struggled a little bit. I think Winston played a little bit. He moved the ball, but it was like really kind of methodical. It wasn't really like his kind of style of airing it out and taking chances. I think he was trying to, you know, limit the big plays downfield to take a lot of risk and try to make safe plays, but I think this year, especially the last game against the Jaguars, where he looked really virtually perfect, I think it's his job to win. I think you make an interesting point, though, in Denver. I would be kind of miffed if I was Locke, and I didn't get a chance to get to that. But, I mean, I think Bridgewater gives them a better chance to win, but I think if you draft Locke and that's your guy, I mean, why is he not out there? If he's not out there, then you got to move on from him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why he's still there if he's not your starter at this point. But Bridgewater, I mean, listen, I know Mr. Controversy is out there listening somewhere because that's his guy. I feel like he's his agent or something like that, or his media handler or something like that, social media handler. But, you know, he loves Teddy Bridgewater. And I think Bridgewater does give them the best chance to win. I just don't know what Denver's trying to do. I really don't. But,
well, see –
I got
to ask. Let me say this, and then we can keep it moving. I'm not too sure, in my honest opinion, that, you know, Teddy Bridgewater gives them the best chance to win, because, in my opinion, Drew Locke was really never given a legit opportunity, in my opinion, with this assortment of talent, with this assortment of riches, to do well. Keep in mind, this is a guy who, you know, was playing well, got hurt, and, you know, and he kept getting hurt. But this is the thing, like, in order for me to go to Teddy Bridgewater in this situation, he had to be head over heels, like, the best guy. He had to go out there and literally knock your socks off. And he played well. I'm not going to poo-poo, you know, what he did. But in my opinion, both of the guys, you know, played the same. So I wanted to kind of, if I'm Denver, I wanted to err on the side of the younger upstart guy who has the bigger arm, who kind of, you know, leaves that offense with a little more pep and zep. Like, we know what we're getting out of Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he's check down. He's not going to lose a game. He's not going to go out there and, quote-unquote, win it either. He's the ultimate game manager, in my opinion. And with those assortment of weapons on the outside, you may need to have somebody who can push the envelope, so to speak, and kind of make defenses back up. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Denver Broncos are now, you know, wanting to live in, you know, that 10 to, you know, 12-yard intermediate level. And when you got a guy like Jerry Jeudy, you know, yeah, he can take a, you know, a 5-yard slant to the crib. When you got a guy like K.J. Hamler and Cortland Sutton who can blow the top off of defense and make defensive backs back up and make defensive coordinators, you know, wonder where their mom's at, so to speak, because they're scared, you may want to go with that option. You know, again, Teddy Bridgewater, he's a good dude. I mean, if they fell back to Teddy Bridgewater, I would understand it, because that would mean that Drew Lock lost the position or lost the job or got hurt or whatever. But to start there and then to try to go to Drew Lock, in my opinion, they did that in the wrong order.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think Bridgewater was playing bad until he got hurt last year in Carolina. I thought he was playing pretty solid. He had a couple good games. I think he had maybe a shaky game here or there, but I thought he played pretty well in Carolina. And you know, you know what? It's a shame, because he was, when he came in the league with the Vikings, you know, he was a darn good quarterback. And you know, I sound like controversy. I can't believe I'm doing this, but you know, he was playing pretty well. And just injuries kind of really robbed him of his, you know, really stardom and his trajectory where he was headed. So, but listen, I don't know. I'm not a believer in Lock. I think other people are, but I just don't see it. I think, you know, we'll honestly see. But I mean, listen, two teams that did name their starters, a couple teams that are waiting. I got to ask you, Sirius. I mean, if you're Kyle Shanahan, who's your starter? Is it, who gives you the best chance to win? And this team is a darn good team. They should make the playoffs, even though the AFC, the NFC West is the best division in football, hands down. San Francisco still has a chance to come out of that division and make some waves in the playoffs. But who do you think gives them the best chance to win? Is it Trey Lance or is it Garoppolo?
You know, honestly, man, in my opinion, and again, I'm just gonna keep it a buck with you. You start Trey Lance. You start the young guy. And here's the thing, like, no disrespect to Jimmy G, I think this is a guy who, you know, may end up going down as being one of the guys who is just finds himself in the worst type of luck. You know what I'm saying? Because you get drafted and then you're behind Tom Brady and, you know, you go out to San Francisco and, you know, you don't wake up, you know, that day expecting to get hurt and, you know, things that to go awry. And then the team, you know, decides to move the mountain that it needed to move to get up to get, you know, Trey Lance. And Trey Lance falls in their lap. And, you know, again, in the preseason, he's looked the part, acted the part, played significantly well. I think you start Trey Lance here, you know. And that's just me. I'm sure breaking news, Houston, a couple, you know, 49er fans that I talk to on a regular basis may have something different to say about it. But in my opinion, I think Trey Lance is your guy. I think same situation that I was talking about a second ago with Justin Fields and Andy Dalton in Chicago. You know, you roll with the young guy, you know, and I don't think you have anything else to lose. And the thing is, with Kyle Shanahan, I think with his particular offense, it's so easy. I think it's so quarterback friendly, you know, because they're a run heavy team. You know what I'm saying? And that's an element of Trey Lance's game that can add to the mix. Not to mention, he's, you know, accurate with the football and can put the football, you know, where he needs to put the football. So I run with Trey Lance there.
I mean, you know, it's like I feel like Jimmy G is like one of my favorite all-time songs from the 70s by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. You know, it's bad luck. That's what you got. That's what you got. You know, because it's like,
yeah,
you're right. I mean, you know, he had that situation where he probably should have been the starter in New England, but Tom Brady pulled a power move and said, I don't want this guy here no more. And your Kraft is like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll get him out of here right now. And got him traded. Let's go. Get him out of here. You know, it's like, you know, I'll do it right now, master. You know, like, you know, come on. That's right. What he did. But it's like, And then, listen, no, everybody kind of throwing shade on Jimmy G, but he had a great record going into that Super Bowl as a starter and was one overthrow away from being a Super Bowl winner. And that's a lot, you know, there's other quarterbacks in this league that can't say that. You know what I mean? Like Goff, you know, Ryan, et cetera. You know what I mean? He was one overthrow away from being a Super Bowl winner. And then come to find out they draft their replacement in the top five pick. So it's like, listen, I feel like Lance is the future, obviously. You don't trade up and move, like you said, heaven and earth to get this guy at the top of the draft. But if you had to ask me, gun to my head right now, who gives you the best chance to win right now as it stands at August 25th, I'm rolling with Jimmy G. And that's no disrespect to Trey Lance. I think he's going to be a good one. I from everything I've seen, some highlights in a couple, you know, maybe a quarter or two of games, like he's good. He's better than I thought he was. I thought he was good, but I thought he was like maybe he needs to beef up a little bit and learn how to throw out of the pocket. But he can play, and he's going to be their future. But I'm looking at a guy right now in Jimmy G that, you know, he's a veteran. He's been at this situation where Trey Lance is trying to get to, and there's no reason to think that he can't go like jump into back into this situation and put them in a chance to win. Because and you got to get wins. You can't roll with a rookie quarterback because you got Kyler Murray, you got Russell Wilson, you got Matt Stafford in that division. These guys, they've proven that they can win some games in this league. You got to get off on the right foot or it's going to be a wrap. So I think from that standpoint, I think I would lean to Jimmy G. But listen, if Trey Lance wins the job, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. So we'll see. We'll see. I think it's going to be very interesting where Kyle Shanahan leans, and he hasn't said anything of who he's going to pick, but – he says he has a pretty good idea. And then when you ask Jimmy G, I say, I have a pretty good idea. So maybe they know what we don't know or whatever. I don't know. So
all right,
we'll see. But one more I got to ask. My main man, Cam Newton. I mean, I love to hate on him, but, you know, he played pretty darn well. And now we got a botched COVID test that's robbing him of playing time. And Belichick said that it's going to factor into their decision. But, I mean, honestly, I mean, Mac Jones has looked pretty good. Cam Newton had one really good game against the Eagles where the Eagles looked like crap. Thank you for exposing them. They're going to stink this year. Sorry. Apologize to your wife. You know, it's not personal. It's just I don't like Eagle fans. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Cam looks pretty darn good. I wouldn't have a problem with him starting the season. Is he on a short leash? Do you just go with Mac Jones, the rookie? You got Cam Newton weapons this year. They actually traded Michelle to the Rams, which I think is a good trade for both sides. To be honest with you, Sony Michel going to the Rams to bat, you know, to give them some support after losing Cam Akers to a freakish accident. But I mean, Patriots have a lot of weapons now, right? They drafted, they basically signed free agent Belichick, missed the playoffs, what, 3 years, the whole time he's been in New England, said, not again. I need some pieces. Mm-hmm. He went out there and made some moves and got some pieces in there. Now you got Cam some weapons. Do you roll with Cam now? Do you say, hey, I can get Cam some weapons, I can give him some support, and maybe we can win some games and challenge the Bills? Or do you let the rookie go in there and say, you know what, it's your team, we drafted you for a reason, let's see what you got?
So here's the difference. I think you roll with Cam here. I've been on this network numerous times and I've said, you know, Cam is done, Cam is finished, Cam is this, Cam is that. Mm-hmm. The difference, you know, like he's looking the part. And I honestly believe that the difference between Cam Newton and what the Patriots are in and what these other teams are in, you know, Trey Lance was, you know, number three pick overall. You traded away the farm to go get him. You know, Justin Fields, you know, again, 15 draft pick, you know, You trade, you know, picks to go get him. In my opinion, with Cam Newton, I think this matchup is one of the ones that were very, very closely matched. And I honestly want to see if Cam is able to go out there and you know, secure that particular position. Ultimately, again, Cam understands this. He understands that he is on the shortest of leashes. I do believe that he understands that. I think he also understands that his time is coming to an end. I don't think he expects to be there, you know, potentially past this past year or maybe in the next year. I do believe that he understands that he's on his way out. But I think Cam this off season and this preseason has done enough to solidify this position. I think he has a pretty good grasp, a pretty good hold on this offense. And if Cam doesn't go out there and lose games, I honestly believe that they will be there to challenge the Bills in that division. I said this, you know, on another situation that I talked to. People are very easy and very quickly ready to go ahead and pencil in the Buffalo Bills as the favorite in that division and, you know, potentially a Super Bowl berth. I am not. You know what I'm saying? There's one thing that I've learned, you know, I'll be 38 in February, so I'm my 37 years on this wonderful, wonderful earth. You don't really ever see Bill Belichick F up twice. and he has a whole off season. Excuse me, he has a whole off season and a team that is returning to him that was on that COVID list. Again, I'm not going to poo-poo what the Buffalo Bills were able to accomplish, but you're putting a lot of eggs on a Josh Allen basket. Again, Josh Allen is one hell of a player. Their defense is okay, but that offense is very one-dimensional. You're not going to – like, the biggest running back is Josh Allen. So, unfortunately, you're one pop away from, you know, being in a situation. And I honestly believe that the New England Patriots are going to significantly challenge and push the Buffalo Bills to that division. And I think it's going to be because of what Cam Newton is able to do all season. I mean, he has a great rapport with Jacoby Myers. They just made another move and picked up some more draft picks by trading away Sonny Michel to the Rams and, you know, really solidifying that backfield. They drafted well. And so if they're ever to get anything out of Nelson Aguilar, who came over and signed with them, Jalen Mills, the former Philadelphia Eagles is over there. They spent a ton of money this offseason picking up tight end Jonnu Smith, the former cat that played with the L.A. Chargers, his name escapes me, for Hunter Henry's out there.
Hunter Henry,
yeah. They got some weapons. Yeah, they got some weapons out there to really complement what Cam Newton does well. I mean, this is the first time, in my opinion, in Cam Newton's whole existence that he's had an assortment of weapons on that side of the football to operate with. I mean, when he won the MVP, it was pretty much him and his legs. And, you know, a bunch of nobody, in my opinion. And that defense, you know, literally carried them to an MVP. He has some weapons now, and I think he is really poised to really flex a little bit and say, yo, even though I'm the old guy, I can still do it. So I'm going with Cam.
Yeah, listen, I like what they did in the offseason, obviously. I think bringing Aguilar in, I think, Kendrick Bourne is a great pick for them. I look at what they did, the tight ends, Smith and Henry, yeah, obviously great. I'm looking at the offensive line, how they upgraded the offensive line as a big key with Wynn and Trent Brown, especially Trent Brown. That's a win for them. So I think you looking at all the pieces that they have and plus getting pieces back on defense that they didn't have last year because of COVID, people are opting to sit out. I think, you know, Gilmore going down is going to be a big blow. But getting Van Noy back, Dante Hightower, There's guys that are coming back that are like, you know, I agree with you. They will challenge the Bills, but I think the Bills are a better team. But I think the Bills are the class of that division. It's theirs to lose. But listen, I think Cam is auditioning this year for a job next year, possibly with your Steelers if this is the last run for Big Ben. Who knows? But, I mean, you know, maybe if it doesn't work out in Carolina, he can head back there. I doubt it. But, you know, there's teams that could use a quarterback if they don't like their current situation. You know, you look at, like, Washington football team can always use a quarterback, even though they got your guy, you know, Fitzmagic. It's tragic, if you ask me. You know, who knows what's going on in Houston? Who knows what you know, if the Titans, if they don't like the progression with Tannehill, even though they gave him a lot of money, who knows? So he could be auditioning for another job next year, obviously. You know, and I think there might be teams that could be had. Who knows? Maybe the Broncos who we talked about. So, but I think he's looked good enough to say, you know what, I deserve another shot. I deserve a fair shake. I roll with Cam. I like Mac Jones in the future. I thought he's a perfect system guy for Belichick to work with going forward. I think right now Cam obviously gives you the best chance to win, and hopefully with the COVID thing, you know, that kind of gets cleaned up, that situation. But I feel like he gives you the best chance to win, and I love their chances with him under quarterback. And I think with Mac Jones, too, I think he gives them a good chance, too. Don't get me wrong, but – I like Cam. You know, so, I mean, we'll go into a little overtime, and then, you know, we'll head out of here, you know, clean the dishes, let somebody else come in and clean. You know, I might just let the dishes soak overnight because I really don't feel like doing dishes, you know what I'm saying? I just want to eat and go to bed. Exactly. But, listen, you know, I caught the ESPN version of the power rankings. You know, listen, Kansas City Chiefs number one, Buccaneers number two, Bills number three. We're talking about the Packers four, Los Angeles Rams number five, Baltimore Ravens come in at six. I know you might have something to say about that. Cleveland Browns at seven, Seahawks at eight, Titans at nine, 49ers at 10. And then the rest of the list, who cares? Anything in that top 10 kind of stand out to you as a little odd, serious?
I'm sorry. Run that past me again?
Exactly. That's what I said. Okay. Kansas City Chiefs, number one.
Uh-huh.
We got the Tampa Bay Bucks, number two. I want you just to digest this, right? Uh-huh. Buffalo Bills, uh-huh, number three. Green Bay Packers, number four. Los Angeles Rams, number five. Baltimore Ravens, number six.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland Browns, number seven.
Uh-huh.
Seattle Seahawks, number eight. Tennessee Titans, number nine. San Francisco 49ers, number 10. And then the Steelers were 11. I'll give you that. Cowboys were 12.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals were 13, Colts 14, and then we got the Chargers at 15 or whatever. Anything strike you as odd in that top 10? We're talking Chiefs, Bucks, Bills, Packers. I mean,
you know, here's the deal. Like, for me, There's a lot that kind of strikes me as odd, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna catch a lot of flack for this because I am who I am, but I'm gonna say this, okay? The Cleveland Browns right now are the sexy pick. You know what I'm saying? They're sitting on this list at seven, which, in my opinion, it's quite odd, being as though they won one playoff game in my existence.
and they really haven't addressed, you know, their defensive issues. The Baltimore Ravens being at six, again, people are going to throw some shade because I'm still a fan, but, okay, you once again have – you literally have no offensive weapons outside of Lamar Jackson and your running back. And your defense got better, your offensive line got worse. I can break this down even further. The Green Bay Packers, again, you're Aaron Rodgers in a cloud of dust, in my opinion. The Los Angeles Rams, I like them. I like the LA Rams. I think Matthew Stafford is going to be in the MVP category, in my honest opinion. And this is not hyperbole. Mm-hmm. This is not me being funny or goofy because he's, you know, TP's former guy. I think that him with Sean McVay, that's one sexy ass combo, man. I know, no jokes about it. The Buffalo Bills, you just spoke about them. Tampa Bay Buccaneers being second behind the team they dismantled. Oh, okay. I'm not sure where they do that at, but okay, whatever. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? The Seattle Seahawks, the 49ers. Here's the thing with the 49ers, okay? I don't understand how you could put them ninth on this particular list. I don't get it. Because, once again, I'm looking at them at nine. According to what I'm looking at right now, as of right now, the Tennessee Titans are number 10.
Okay, that must be an old one. They flipped them. They flipped the Titans and the 49ers. Either way, I think it's a little high for them, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's top for the Tennessee Titans. I think it's top for the 49ers. I think, with my opinion, I think the Arizona Cardinals they have them on this particular set 11. They definitely made some moves, and they got Indianapolis close to 12. So I may need to get an updated list according to what I'm looking at now.
Right. So they had Steelers 11. They had Steelers 11, Cowboys 12, Cardinals 13, Colts 14, Chargers 15, and then Dolphins 16. If you want to just round out the 16 playoff teams, if you want.
Okay. Huh. Wow. Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah, I wish I had the words to kind of, you know, go over this, man. It's funny, but ultimately, this is why people at ESPN are getting fired and canceled and, you know, doing dumb stuff, because this doesn't make any flipping sense to me. Again, I don't understand how you put the Kansas City Chiefs above the team that just returned every starter that they had from their championship run. And I mean every star. I think the boy who, you know, stirred the Gatorade, it got an extension because they didn't run everybody back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they upgraded the Gatorade mixer. So, you know,
exactly.
That was the needle mover right there. Listen, I'll give them credit though, seriously. Like, listen, Mahomes is healthy, right? They did get Orlando Brown. And they got who was the guard they got? Was it Trey Smith? They got
Trey Smith.
Yeah, they addressed the issues on the offensive line that plagued them in the Super Bowl. They still have probably one of the best skilled position players from top to bottom: Hill, Hardman, Kelsey. You know, Edwards-Helaire, pretty damn good. They did, you know, they got McKinnon to back those guys up. But, I love doing this. I love stealing lines from the great Ric Flair. To be the man, woo, you got to beat the man. And
you
got to
beat the man.
The Bucks beat you handily in the Super Bowl and then bring back every starter. They didn't lose a starter. They didn't lose the ball boy. They didn't lose the Gatorade mixer. They brought everybody back. They brought the equipment manager back. They brought the ushers back. They brought the guy that rips the tickets at the front door. They brought him back too. How do you have this team at two behind the team that they beat? Where do you do that at? Pause. Paul.
I just don't get, you know, I don't get it. You know, it's like, I kind of disagree with you with the Browns. I think they're the best team in that division. No disrespect to the Ravens and the Steelers. I like them. But I think the Browns are going to win that division this year. But I could be wrong. They could be completely overrated too. It's the Browns. You don't want to go to Vegas with a hot hand and then bet on the Browns. I know that.
Right.
But the Ravens ahead of them, I don't know about that. I don't know. It boggles my mind. I think the Packers are a little under. I do like the Bills, but at three, I don't have the Bills ahead of the Packers. I would flip those two. I like the Rams. I agree with you. I think the Cardinals are not getting enough respect. I think the Cardinals are better. I think they're better than the 49ers. Just because look at who they're getting back and look who they're getting. They're getting Chandler Jones back. They added J.J. Watt. They got A.J. Green. They got A.J. Green. Like, with Hopkins? I mean, like, what are we talking about here? Like, I feel like the Cardinals aren't getting enough respect. Like I said, the NFC West is the best division in football. Hands down. I mean, you look at the NFC West is ahead of the AFC North because the Bengals are terrible. That's the only reason, because you got three teams in your division that are pretty darn good. But every team in the West is a good team. The Rams should be a good team. The Cardinals should be a good team. The 49ers should be much improved. And the Seahawks should be a good team. The only way that these aren't good teams is because they beat up on each other, and then their records are going to fall apart. But I don't see the last place team being you can't even say a 500 team anymore. Probably what, 8-9 or 9-8 team. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It boggles my mind. I think the Colts are a little overrated, but at 14, I'm not going to kill it because they were a good playoff team. I think I would flip them with the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys are as good as people think they are. I think the Colts are better than the Cowboys because the Colts have a better defense. That's just my opinion, but. Even still, I don't think the Colts are going to be – I think they're the best team in that division, but that's not saying much.
Right.
So, I mean, listen, the ranking's a little odd to me. I mean, you look at the top and you have the Chiefs, who I think are probably on paper maybe the best team, but, I mean, I have to give respect to the champs. You know what I mean? I have to say, you know, the champs are to be the man, you got to beat the man, and they beat the man. So,
right.
I don't know. It's weird. Like I said, the Cowboys at 12, and then you have the Cardinals behind. I think the Cardinals are better than the Cowboys. That's just me. I think the Chargers maybe 15 is okay. I think everybody's sipping the Kool-Aid of Justin Herbert, and rightfully so. The kid's phenomenal. We'll see how far that goes. We'll see if, you know, that running back tandem they have in Eckler and Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson with those receivers and that quarterback can be enough to get them over the hump, because I think the defense needs a little bit of work. But, I mean, I like what they're doing with the Chargers. I hate saying his last name. I always butcher it. In Miami. They got a weapon, right? This year, they got a weapon this year. They drafted well, right? Yeah, exactly. They drafted. You're absolutely right. I mean, they got Parker, Fuller. He's on suspension, but he'll be back. Jalen Waddle, Gelic, you know, solid tight end. They got some weapons out there, so they're going to be an interesting team. I think the AFC East can be fun to watch. I think this team could be really good or they could be really bad. But I think with the Dolphins being a solid team, I think the Patriots are going to be much improved than the Bills, the class in that division, in my opinion. The Jets, good luck. It's a good division too. I mean, I got my opinion. What do you think is the best divisions in both conferences?
You know, honestly, man, I'm going to be biased. I think the AFC North top to bottom is it's pretty tough. You know, even with the Cincinnati Bengals being the Bengals, you know what I'm saying? They're extremely, extremely competitive, and they got a lot of young guns that are coming. You know, if Joe Burrow is able to stay healthy, know, they arguably got one of the top three receivers, you know, in the game, and they're young, and they're going to grow together, they're going to mold together. If their offensive line gets right and they're able to fix that defense, they're going to be a problem. Obviously, the Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns, and Steelers are going to beat on each other. And that's going to be just a bloodbath. Then, you know, the competitive games, you know, we were only division to send three to playoffs from a year ago. And I don't expect, you know, that to change, you know, as we, you know, get ready to pop the top on the NFL season. You know, obviously for me, I'm just going to keep it a buck with you. The intriguing, I don't say they're the best division. Honestly, you're gonna laugh at me. It's the NFC East, you know. And the reason why I say that is like,
I know it's not the best.
I have never seen a more Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde mix than this NFC East, because for me, you know, you got the Washington football team, and, you know, they just want to kick the proverbial can down the road and not address their quarterback issue. So they, you know, turn their eyes to, you know, Fitzpatrick, you know, king of yellow balls. And, you know, and then you got the Giants, in my opinion, who are a sneaky pick to kind of come out of this division if, you know, all the pieces align. And, you know, they, you know, Kenny Galladay plays more than five games, and Saquon returns to himself. And I think Danny Dimes, in my opinion, I think this is going to be his make it or break it year. I think he's going to be a sneaky play. The Dallas Cowboys, obviously, their offense is going to be all of that, and then some. If Dak is healthy, if not, then it's going to be interesting. And the Eagles, man, like, my wife is like, you know, Aaron, you know, we're battling, honey. It's preseason. Like, you're not supposed to look, you know, like the finished product in preseason. Well, we got beat. You know, we didn't score no points against the Patriots. Well, hon, you know, unfortunately, you started Joe Flacco in that game. Let's keep it a buck, which is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
That's the game that's, you know, that's the game that your man was supposed to play and, you know, caught the stomach bug or whatever it is, and he didn't play. So, again, jar's half empty, but the most intriguing, and I want to say intriguing, division is the NFC East. But the best division in the AFC, in my opinion, is the NFC North. And that's just maybe me being biased. But since you asked the questions, I'll give you the answers.
Yeah, I mean, NFC West is the class. I mean, that to me, top to bottom, there's no division better. The NFC East is interesting because if one way breaks the other, like, you could have any of those teams be at the top. Like, if, you know, the Eagles figure it out at quarterback, you know, and finally, is my man the tight end, is he going to get traded? Are they ever going to move on just trade him already. He doesn't want to be there. Just trade him, for crying out loud. I don't know. But, I mean, the Eagles, they can make a noise. The Giants, you're right. They've made some moves. I think the offensive line is still their Achilles heel. I think that offensive line will get Gettleman fired one day. But you know what? If the line figures it out and plays like they did in the second half of the season, and we're talking about, you know, Galladay staying on the field and Barkley returning to form, look out. Same with the Cowboys. If the Cowboys' offensive line gets it together and Dak's shoulder is as good as new. And you know what? I think it really comes down to Quinn, right, in Dallas. If Dan Quinn can figure out, hey, I used to be a pretty darn good defensive coach, and I know how to coach defense. Because that first preseason game against you guys, against the Steelers, they looked pretty bad. And then they got a little bit better. You know, they played the second game, I think, against the Cardinals. They played a little bit better. You know, Parsons looks like a player. He looks like a football player, man. Like, not even just a girl. He's a football player. You can put him anywhere on the field, he's going to make a play. So I like him. I love that pick. I wanted him in New York, but they went another direction. Can you imagine the Giants getting that kid? I really wanted him. But you know what? If the defense figures it out in Dallas, they could easily be the best team. And to your point, if Washington football team is just a quarterback away. I think Fitzmagic can win them some games. He's not going to get them to the show, but I mean, like, you know, he can win you some games and win you a division. He's proven he can do that. So they already got a really good defense that gets after you. I think they just need to shore up the offense and maybe they make a trade for one of these quarterbacks that are disgruntled and wants to move on. You know what I mean? But to your point, it can go either way. But, I mean, in the AFC, I love the North. I think it's a tie between, for me, the North and the AFC East. And I think that all the divisions are top-heavy. They're top three. I think the top three in the North is a little bit better than the top three in the East. But I look at the bottom, I think the Bengals are a little bit better than the Jets, right? So I think that's why I give it to the North. You know, clearly I think, you know, it's the Colts and everybody else in that division get lost. Well, no, I got to be fair. I think the Titans and the Colts are the two best teams in that division, obviously. And the Titans are a really good team. I think, you know, I'm not a Tannehill fan, but I know he can play. And I know with their system, and especially getting Julio down there, I feel like they could take that division. The Colts have a better defense. To me, I think the Titans have lost a lot of pieces on that defense. But, you know, Carson Wentz, here today, gone tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to get from that guy. So if I had to pick out of those two, I would take the Titans right now. And then, you know, the AFC West, I mean, it's those two teams, it's the Chargers and the Chiefs, and then go with Christ. You know what I mean? So,
go with Christ.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he can say. I if he can't save you, I don't know who can. You know what I'm saying? Like, because those, give me a break. But, I mean, yeah, the South is interesting. Their top two teams are really good, and their bottom two teams are really bad. You know what I mean? And I think that's the same with the West, the AFC West. So, I don't know if you had anything to add on that, but, I mean, you know.
No,
it's
going to
be
good.
Fun.
We are good.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Definitely,
it's going to be a fun year. I can't wait. I love it when football starts, even though you're ducking me. For fantasy, that's my MO for the rest of the year.
I'm not ducking nobody. I can't. I'm not
yes,
ducking
you
nobody. You know me, but I'm not
yes,
ducking
you,
bro.
Yes, you are.
I'm not ducking you.
If it's my show, I control the narrative. I'm going to tell the people that you know I invited you and that you didn't want to come out and play with the villain because you were scared I was going to take you down. So that's my story.
So,
I'm sticking to it.
So you're going to lie to the people. You're going to lie to the people.
Absolutely. But
I'll let you lie.
It's not a lie unless you believe it.
Well, see, that's the problem. See, you want people to believe your lie. But see, people who know the truth know. Like, I mean, for starters, you're running a standard league. Standard sucks.
I mean,
if you
came in and helped the villain, I tried to give everybody options on the rules.
You did.
And then I got crickets.
You did.
I gave them crickets.
Mm-hmm.
So I did standard, mm-hmm. And if everybody's got feedback, then come give it to the villain. I'll change the rule. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of league do you like, Sirius? What's your cup of tea?
I'm in PPR league, man. I prefer PPR because it honestly opens up more options for you. Standard leagues are really touchdown dependent, you know. And honestly, when you start building a team, there are more people that can help your team than just, you know, getting in the end zone. You got guys like James White, you know, who you know is a volume monster, but gets down to the 1 yard line, and you know, LeGarrette Blount gets the touchdowns. And you know, you got it opens up so many different things. So I prefer PPR leagues. I prefer leagues where it gives me more options to build a winner. Again, I'm not begrudging those, you know, who like to play standard. If that's your cup of tea, you know what I'm saying? Do what you do, you know. But ultimately, I'm in two standard leagues now because, you know, I've been in these leagues for years with the same group of people, so I can't get out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know what? I can't. Besides, I'm in eight. So my wife was like, no,
yeah.
You're not doing this again.
What about me? What about me?
Before I got married, I was in 16 of these. Because, I mean, people like yourself and all, you know, and you want to jump in the league? You want to jump in the league? Yeah, I'm in. I was just drafted. I did my best to draft the same group of people. You know, and by midway through the season, there were leagues that I paid more attention to than the others.
Right.
I would still be active, but I'm 16 different leagues, man. So somebody gonna get left out.
Exactly.
It is what it was. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to find the PPR settings, but I can't even figure it out. I gotta figure it out how to change it. Kind of sucks.
It's all right. I'm a fantasy football fiend. You know, this is what I do on a regular basis. So I mean,
sure. No, listen, I'm heavy in the game.
Okay.
I'm heavy in the game. I used to be in a couple leagues. I had one at when I was at WWE. I had one when I was at a different job. I had a couple with some guys across the country, like a couple of big leagues. And then the leagues kind of started to die down because people started to get less interested. And then, you know, like, you know, squabbling between guys. So, it was like a year I had to find one. So now I'm in another league is big money on the line. At my current job. So, you know, I want to kind of do this league, you know, with the chefs and bring this back because we used to do it a lot and
right.
You know, we kind of fell off. So, you know, it's good to get everybody back. I mean, I know you're scared. I get it. You know, you have a villain.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'll get it. But no, I'm kidding.
I'm terrified
now. Yeah, you're petrified. I love fantasy football and you know I love doing dailies. I'm a FanDuel guy more than DraftKings. But I love how that format has changed over the years. You know, I usually put my deposit in and then I play throughout the year and just create teams for the day. It's crazy because I don't do it for baseball because season's too long. And I don't have the mind for it for basketball. I think you do it for basketball, right?
I do.
Yeah, so I don't have the mind for it for basketball and the patience. It's just a long league. I think football, even though it's a long season, I think it's a little bit – it's different because it's one game a week, so I can prepare for the full week. And then I like doing the dailies too. So I do a lot of different dailies. I'll do like the Sunday, Monday. I'll do the Thursday, Sunday night, or you know, I'll do like the Thanksgiving games, or anywhere I can get some action. I love doing it. So, I'll do it through Yahoo. I'll do it through FanDuel. Sometimes I'll do DraftKings, depending if I give me a free gift. It's fun. But let's close it up. I'm gonna put the dishes in the dishwasher. Thanks for stopping through, Sirius. Pleasure as always. Give me a close, a plug, anything you got.
Man, it's your boy Sirius repping that 412 and the 703. Man, such a pleasure to be here with you, Barry, and those who are listening later. Definitely don't forget to check out the blogs, the merchandise, man. Everything that's going on, man. We got the fresh hat that I got. I gotta mail those on to the villain, man. That's sitting in the back of my trunk right now. But anyway, I got the hats coming out, man, and everything, man. So definitely check us out, man. And let's get up out of here, man. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I gotta do my my preview of the NFC East. You got my juices flowing, so I might write something this weekend. So I know you're gonna write something on the North too. So. We'll get that on and crack in before the season starts. But, yeah, definitely, listen, get to the site, read the blogs, the interviews, get the merchandise. You got the hats, like Sirius said. A lot of new merch probably coming down the pipe. You got some big things popping. baseball show tomorrow, the baseball buffet. I think one of the guys is on vacation, so we might have to pinch hit. But we'll be in there, TP Timeless, on vacation out there in his home away from home in Vegas. So, listen, we're doing stuff all week. Come holler at your boys with the chefs, and as TP would say, tell a friend to tell a friend it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, not enough.
Not a no.
Ow.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.